Again, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19, and this is entitled, When God Feels Far Away. You know, for well over a month, almost 2 months now, most of the world has been under some kind of stay-at-home orders. And so here in the state of California, the stay-at-home orders were effective beginning March 19th. And just a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, on May 8th, Phase 2 of the governor's reopening plan went into effect. And that gradually has relaxed some of the restrictions on non-essential businesses. As of today, May 24th, still there are many non-essential businesses and most forms of public gatherings are still closed. So that's 67 days and counting. That'll come into play later. I'm not going to get political. It's going spiritual. So hear me out. God did not create us for isolation. He created us for fellowship. If you go back to the creation story, when you once God finished creating the world and filling it with beasts and birds and sea creatures, and then even creating humankind, creating Adam, in chapter 2... He says, it was not good for man to be alone. And so he created a helper suitable for him. And so even from the very beginning, God did not intend for us to live in isolation, but to live in fellowship and community. Now, there are times, like during a worldwide health crisis, where we may find ourselves isolated from others for good reason. However, maybe you can hear my daughter in the background. Sorry. However, isolation does take its toll. It takes its toll economically. It takes its toll physically. It takes its toll on us mentally. And it even takes its toll on us spiritually. And so there's a great example. There was a man in the Old Testament who was isolated from other people for several weeks. He was a prophet named Elijah. Now, the circumstances were very different. His circumstances go like this. God showed up in a very big way for Israel. Through Elijah, this is the super short cliff notes. Okay, through Elijah, God made a mockery of the false god Baal, proved that he basically wasn't real and wasn't worth worshiping. And then through that, Elijah carried out God's orders to execute the false prophets, 950 prophets of Baal and Asherah, or Asherah, however you say that. That's 1 Kings 18. Because Elijah executed the false prophets, the evil queen Jezebel promised to have Elijah killed. So Elijah fled into the wilderness. And that brings us to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 10, which reads, "As he, Elijah, lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.'" That's 40 days. That's almost 6 whole weeks. That's a long time alone with no food, no amenities, no people. And I doubt he had a volleyball named Wilson. So that's a long time to be all alone with just a growling belly and your own thoughts. Now, sometimes I watch a show on Discovery Channel where there are two survivalists, strangers, and they are paired up. each one given their choice of one tool, like a fire starter or machete, and they're dropped in a remote jungle or desert or island where they try to survive just 21 days. Now, there's a lot of variety of personalities, skill sets, and experiences, but there's pretty much two reasons why people don't make it the 21 days. One is some kind of medical emergency. The other is they have a psychotic break from isolation. Elijah went twice that long in the wilderness with just him. And notice what he said. Notice his complaint. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Now, it's true. They sought to take his life. That's a very terrible place to be. I've never had a bounty on my head. I can only try to imagine what that must have been like. However, here's what Elijah forgot. And it's the same thing that I've been struggling with, and I'm guessing many of us have been struggling with to varying degrees during this time of stay at home. We're never really alone. You're not alone. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you're a Christian or claim some other faith or claim no faith at all, God is always near to us. And he's always inviting us, no matter who we are, to call out to him. Okay, and now if you are a believer, if you are a Christian and you've trusted in Jesus Christ, we also have free access to the Father through the blood of Jesus anytime for any reason. So why do we wait until we're at our wit's end and then call out to God as a last resort? I don't have an answer to that. I know I do that all the time. But I do understand why God lets that happen. It's because he's not going to force himself on us. He waits until we ask him into our lives. And so in the process of that, God is teaching us about his grace, showing us how life is best lived by the power of God, which he makes available to us when we are willing to admit that we can't do it ourselves. So through isolation, God reminds us that he created us for fellowship, to live as participating members in the family of God, the church, united by common faith in the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, encouraging and strengthening each other in faith and good works until the Lord calls each of us home to be with him in eternity. And all this is made possible by the blood of Christ shed on the cross as the final once for all eternal covering for our sins. All our sins, given as a free gift of love to the whole world, but applied only to those who receive it by believing in Jesus Christ. So we're going to take communion together. If you have one of these fancy things, my cellophane is stuck. Get my wafer out here. So the wafer, the bread, the cracker, whatever you got at home, it represents the body of Christ, which is broken for us. It endured the penalty of our sins. Let's take and eat together. And then we have the juice, which Jesus passed around to his disciples at that last supper that he shared with them. He said, this juice represents his blood shed for the remission of sins. He called it the cup of the new covenant. Let's take and drink together. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the body broken, which endured the penalty for our sins. The blood, which he shed as an atonement, as a covering, a once for all, final, eternal sacrifice, never to be made again, because it covered it all. For our sins, and for all who will believe. Father, help us to rest in that truth and to continue seeking your face. If we have wandered away, draw us back to yourself that we might seek your face once more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.